Today is November the 15th, 2017, and this is Around the Word in 180 Days, where we read the Bible with our brothers and sisters in the public schools. My name is Karen, and I am your host for the program. And this school year, we are reading the red letter words of Jesus from the book of Matthew, and we affectionately call it just Jesus. But before we read his words, let us pray an ABC prayer of adoration to our great and mighty God. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. You are the authority over all our lives. You're the beginning and the end, the commander and the defender. You elevate the humble, and you have holy boldness. You're the invisible God and the Lord of Jerusalem. You're the keeper of our souls and the Lamb of God. You're the medicine that we need each day. You number the hair on our heads. You're the one who sets us free through Jesus, our promise keeper and our quieter. You are righteousness and the sure foundation, the teacher of teachers and ubiquitously ours. You are very, very good and you have wonder-working power. You're the examiner of our souls and you are Yahshua. Thank you, Lord. You are the God of Zion and of all people. We praise you and thank you for all blessings, Lord. Help us to be a blessing today. Help us to bless the children. Bless our colleagues. Bless all the administrators and all of the paraprofessionals and all of the teachers. Grace us with a double portion of love that we may represent you well today. We thank you, Lord. We adore you. And we look forward to doing things your way. With your help, in the mighty name of Jesus the Christ, we ask this all. Amen. Well, welcome, my friends, to the reading of the Word of God, and we are up to Matthew 12, verses 3 to 8. So what was Jesus doing when he spoke these words? As Jesus was going through the grain fields on the Sabbath, his disciples were hungry, and they began to pluck heads of grain and to eat. But when the Pharisees saw it, they said to him, "Look, your disciples are doing what is not lawful on the Sabbath." And he said to them, The Word of God, Matthew 12, verses 3 to 8. Have you not heard what David did when he was hungry and those who were with him? How he entered the house of God and ate the bread of the presence, which it was not lawful for him to eat, nor for those who were with him, but only the priests? Or have you not read in the law how on the Sabbath the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath and are guiltless? I tell you something greater than the temple is here, and if you had known what this means, I desire mercy and not sacrifice, you would not have condemned the guiltless. For the Son of Man is the Lord of the Sabbath. The Word of God, Matthew 12, verses 3 to 8. The second thing that we do on Around the Word in 180 Days is to play a song and then to read the lyrics. And so today I have chosen the doxology, and it's sung by Anthem Lights and Selah. So let's listen in a little bit and then I will read the words for you.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him all creatures. Here below, praise Him above ye heavenly host, praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above the heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.
Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly hosts, praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And that was the doxology, sung by Anthem Lights and Selah. Praise God, that song was written in 1674. The third thing that we do, my friends, on Around the Word in 180 Days, is to pray together each day at precisely 1:16 p.m. What a great movement of prayer this is that we are stopping in the public schools, momentarily, very briefly, and yet reverently and in union. So set your alarms, my friends, and spread the word, for today we are going to be praying for the families in our school communities who are having trouble paying their utilities. Now, if 1:16 rolls around and you can't remember the prompt, that is not a problem. Just pray. And praise God, through whom all blessings flow. Perhaps you could even do the doxology. But you can do this. You can just turn for a moment to turn off your alarm, and while you're walking over to turn it off, you're praying. It is meant to just be a gift to God, to let him know how much we love serving him in the public schools and that we are not alone. So join your brothers and sisters each and every day, my friends, at 1:16 p.m., totally chosen because of Romans 1:16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew and then to the Greek. I look forward to praying with you today at 1:16 p.m. The fourth thing that we do on Around the Word in 180 Days is to read Don Clark's devotionals. And we are in a series called Love Ladders, and we're about to finish it. We have today and tomorrow, and then we'll do his third series. But today he entitled this one, Diamond Mines in Education, Part 3. The scripture he chose was Revelation 21, verse 5. He who sat on the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. Charlotte is a middle school language arts instructor who had been under great professional and personal stress. While taking a personal day at the end of the school year, she had an encounter with Jesus while sitting alone in a tree swing under a giant oak in her parents' backyard. She acknowledged her brokenness to him and asked for help in fixing herself and her marriage. In her journal, she wrote a devotional letter from Jesus. In this letter, he outlined to her what she needed to do to fix the brokenness, which was to reprioritize her life. It was a crossroads moment that eternally changed her mind and heart. See Diamond Mines in Education, Parts 1 and 2. Charlotte set the journal down on the swing and wept. The anxiety, which had filled her for so long, drained from her spirit, mind, and body. Jean, Charlotte's mother, who was undergoing chemo treatments, saw Charlotte out on the swing under the tree weeping. Jean remembered what a special place that swing and tree were in her daughter's and husband's lives and the special bond they always shared. She went out into the backyard and sat next to her daughter and put her arm around her while swinging in silence. Charlotte spent all day with her mother and poured out all she had kept hidden for so long, the ever-growing pressure of helping her mother deal with cancer, parenting responsibilities, and her profession. She shared about her failing marriage, that she could not take the time to fix because her work, children, and mother were more important. Charlotte shared with Jean her lost love for teaching. Charlotte told Jean she hadn't laughed in weeks. She told her mother that she had spiritual cancer caused by misplaced priorities that were killing her own soul and marriage. She asked her mother to pray for her and to help her beat this kind of cancer she was experiencing. She told her mother the chemo she needed was simply more Jesus and less of everything else. After Charlotte was done venting, Jean simply held her daughter by the hands and prayed for her. She prayed for Charlotte to have wisdom in dealing with her personal issues and spiritual cancer. She asked God to give her daughter chemo treatments of joy, courage, and pleasure. She thanked the Lord for her daughter's honesty and all the help she had received since her own cancer diagnosis. Charlotte left the farm that day a new person. Light flooded into her soul. She had hope and a new path to start on, one she was not leading. Her mother was helping, and more important, Jesus was now leading and bearing the load. She gave all her burdens to him while in prayer and asked him to take real control of her life. When she picked up her two children from school that Friday afternoon, she called her sister Beth Ann and told her she was bringing the children over to spend the weekend. She told Beth Ann it was an emergency and she would explain later, and she would pick up the kids on Monday on her way to school. Charlotte booked a last-minute flight, drove to the airport, got on a flight, and arrived at midnight in the town where her husband Anthony was on a business trip. Her husband was shocked to be awakened in the middle of the night and see his wife standing outside his hotel room at 1 a.m. When he opened the door, Charlotte collapsed in his arms and wept and wept. She couldn't speak and eventually, through the sobs, told him that the kids were okay and that she would explain in the morning. The next day, before Anthony left for his mid-morning sales meeting, Charlotte told him what was going on in her life and about the encounter with Jesus. She read the diamond poem to him and the letters in her journal to and from Jesus. She told him about spending the day with her mom and spiritually connecting with her for the first time in her life. She apologized to Anthony for her misplaced priorities and his being number 5 or 6 on her priorities list instead of number 2 behind Jesus. That day, while Anthony was working, Charlotte deeply rested and then spent more Jesus time reading her Bible, journaling, and in prayer. That evening, Charlotte and Anthony went on a real date for the first time in over 8 months. They enjoyed a river walk and ate at one of the finest restaurants in town. They both talked and talked and talked. It was as if the dam holding back their love for one another had burst. Anthony confessed the sublimated anger and resentment that he had been experiencing towards her and the children for some time, which had led him to invest more time at work and less time at home and with the kids. For this, he apologized. They committed to taking a date night every other week. Charlotte and Anthony spontaneously prayed together for the first time in their lives. That night, right in the restaurant, never had either one of them felt so close to God and to one another. It was a new beginning. For the first time in her life, Charlotte felt like a genuine diamond being held in Jesus' hand. The coal was gone. The prayer. Jesus, reconcile all the broken relationships in our lives, beginning first with you and then our spouse and our loved ones. And that was our devotional written by Don Clark. The final thing that we do, my friends, on Around the Word in 180 Days is to offer up a quote for the day. And today's quote comes from Woodrow Wilson. I would rather belong to a poor nation that was free than a rich nation that had ceased to be in love with liberty. And now, my friends, as we close out our time together, let me remind you of the rich words of Jesus the Christ from Matthew 11, verses 21 to 24. Have you not read what David did when he was hungry, and those who were with him, how he entered the house of God and ate the bread of presence, which is not lawful for him to eat, nor for those who were with him, but for only the priests? Or have you not read in the law how on the Sabbath the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath and are guiltless? I tell you, something greater than the temple is here. And if you had known what this means, I desire mercy and not sacrifice, you would have not condemned the guiltless. For the Son of Man is the Lord of the Sabbath. O great and mighty God, we thank you, Father, for the Lord of the Sabbath. I pray for Sabbath rest for my brothers and sisters in the public schools. Help them to take a day, Lord, where they turn off all of their electronics and then just come and be with you. Thank you to the Lord of the Sabbath. We love you, Lord, and ask you for all of this in the mighty name of Jesus the Christ. Amen. And so, my friends, I wanted to remind you that we will be reading the Word and praying with you each school day. So until tomorrow, if the Lord is willing, this is Karen. I love you.